Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a one. Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
So is this your rant, or
I'm just going to tell me to introduce. That's what I do. I just talk until you tell me to do something.
Okay.
I can ramble forever, and I will unless directed to do otherwise. I don't remember anything we record. I was just talking about this. Like I listen to previous recordings. I'm like, I haven't committed a single one of these episodes to memory. Because you know when you make things or you have conversations with people, you tend to like remember them. Mm-hmm. Not a goddamn moment do I remember from any of these recordings. Like, as soon as we're done, I just erase it from my mind. And it never happened. And I can listen to all my funny jokes again with a fresh perspective to critique them. 10 out of 10. Funniest man alive.
Introduce the movie.
Introduce the show, I think you mean.
Either way. Introduce the show,
please. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your back on the horse rooting tooting alcoholic cowboy, Matthew Olenchek, joined as always by my super by necessity, we want to make this a business, Harrison Poole. How are you, babe? So you can't drink, because I will never do the business stuff, because I'm terrible at it. It's my job. I'm terrible at it.
Sure.
But You need to be sober so you can do it.
Okay, sounds good.
Also, I like to think I was the functional alcoholic.
Okay.
Yeah. But no one ever said I had a problem. Or gave me a cool nickname related to my alcoholism.
So what movie did we watch?
We watched one of my favorite spy films, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., based off the television show and featuring Henry Cavill, noted Warhammer player, and Armie Hammer, noted cannibal.
So, okay, did he... I know there was the text message that basically he wanted to do cannibalism.
No, did they, he never did, and they kind of ruined him for no good reason. Yeah. Like, it's shown that, like, tons of people have these thoughts. Like, it's much higher than anyone wants it to be, just most people don't.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like how everyone talks about pedophiles, but never, like, non-offending pedophiles. And there's, like, so many non-offending pedophiles, they just go to therapy.
I'm good.
And they're like, hey, I've realized it's wrong to want to fuck a child.
Correct.
They're at a bar and they're like, oh man, maybe I should stop drinking alcohol. I'm feeling weird these days. And it's like, can I have a Shirley Temple? And they get like hard immediately and they're like, oh fuck, I need to go to therapy. I want to fuck kids. That ain't right.
So, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is a 2015 Guy Ritchie movie based on the television show.
I saw it in theaters because the trailer had such a fun upkick spy-ness to it. And I love a spy movie, and they never make good spy movies. That's right, Daniel Craig. Fuck you. So, I was excited to see like an actual spy movie in the year of our Lord, 2015.
You don't like any of the James Bond?
I think I saw them with Brandon. I mean, they're okay, but like all the new James Bond movies, they're not really spy movies, are they? There's not a lot of spying going on in these. Like what? Like I think Skyfall. No, even Skyfall isn't that much of a spy movie. What spying does he do?
Fair enough.
There's no spying. He just goes around and shoots people. He doesn't use fun, interesting spy techniques, or he just says, "My name's James Bond." He doesn't even have a fucking cover.
That's fair. Yeah.
It's fucking like military operator porn is what it fucking is. It's not a spy. It's a man going around using a gun to solve issues. Terrible. It's just like, ooh, I got to fight on top of a train. No one's into bugs. No planting bugs. No cover identities. No seducing women. He like seduces like these like one woman in both two movies. In Skyfall. Right? No, in what's after Skyfall? Spectre?
Yes.
And then the last one, which I didn't see.
It's something like No Die.
No Die. James Bond, No Die.
No, a good
Spoilers.
Time.
Spoilers.
It's like a good time
Spoilers,
to not
it's
die.
It's an
or
ironic
something.
Name.
Yeah, it's like a good time to not die.
And
or
he has like
the
same
fuck.
Woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just, he gets married to her.
Nice. I've not seen anything post Skyfall. Not out of like any like spite or anything. I just like
it's entirely out of spite. There's no fucking spine in any of these movies. They keep kicking me out of the theater. I'm like, where's the codes? Where's the maps and the secret identities? He keeps just cut. He's like, I'm James Bond. Fuck him. Fuck Daniel Craig too. Now he's doing good. Now that he's out of James Bond, you can tell he never had his heart in it. Because all his current movies are absolutely like gorgeous movies, and he's doing his best. Now he's free from the tyrannical reach of shitty spy movie James Bond.
That's a take.
They're fine action movies, they're bad spy movies.
Okay.
And every time I'm like, oh, I wish there was more spy movies, there's James Bond, Matthew. And I'm like, it's not a fucking spy movie, is it? Where's his shoe telephone? They make fun of it in The Reason One. He's like, here's a tracker, and here's, or Skyfall. He's like, here's a tracker, here's a gun. What, do you want a gadget? Yeah. Yeah, I want spy tools. That's why I'm watching a spy movie. Fucking dangling over my nose. Treating me like I'm less than them.
Gotcha.
I appreciate good spying.
So this movie... does this movie start in the mechanic shop?
It starts at the border.
Sure.
Yeah. But like, first real scene, yes, it starts in the mechanic shop. But it starts with him crossing. We get the first glimpse of a red peril.
Okay.
In the mirror.
Yeah.
And then he gets inside and he's all like, I'm Napoleon Solo. I'm Henry Cavill doing the most American accent Henry Cavill can produce. Like, it is like, it's a good accent. It works, but it's just such, like, I can't place it anywhere because it's like I've just created the American accent. Like, I'm like, oh, Midwest is pretty, like, you know, the, was it the broadcast language or whatever. Yeah. No, he has created the American accent. He went to, like, I don't know what's the most American, like Mount Rushmore, and meditated for like a week, and he's like, I have it. I have the character's voice. It's the most American man who ever lived.
Yeah, he... Where is he from? I know America, but where in America is he from? Okay, cool.
They never say, and you can't place him anywhere.
I was going to say, I have no...
It is distinctly an American accent, but I can't place it anywhere. It's maybe he's making fun of all the people that do like British accents, and it's like not really... It's just like a British accent. Maybe it's an inside joke by the Cavill man.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, we get introduced to the... I can't lead the plot. I'm not good at leading the plot. You have to lead the plot, buddy. I'm gonna be real with you. I was about to start talking, like, going plot by plot. I was about to say we're introduced to the woman and is going to go on a horny tirade. And you can't let me have that narrative control over the flow of the podcast. We will not talk about the movie.
Fair enough. I did rewatch the movie in time.
Yeah, smart decision.
Yeah.
It's going to be me talking about the women and the sandwich mostly. And occasionally remembering something else I liked.
So he crosses the border and he goes to the mechanic shop where Alicia Vikander is.
Ooh, guy, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
We need to watch the Tomb Raider movie. She's in that, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the same year as Ex Machina?
Be a wild year if it was for her.
Right? But, yeah, she's the robot in Ex Machina also.
Who... Oh, Ooga, you know, man? I get it.
Okay.
I think that the man's main problem, what's his name? Hux from Star Wars. Because there's like two of the new Star Wars people in it. Because it's Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson.
Donald Gleason?
Yeah, Donald Gleason. This movie was released in... It was the year before. His big flaw, I think, in that movie, which led to his tragedy in it, is that he treated her like something that needed to be rescued, when I would just simply been like, you could kick my ass and I find that's hot. Let's get you out of here. You don't gotta manipulate me or anything. I'll let you out. You're hot as shit.
So
touch me with your meshy skin. Your meshy iron skin.
So Alicia Vikander is the daughter of essentially the guy building the atom bomb. Or one of the guys building the atom bomb. Right, and that's when Armie Hammer isn't they have that first chase
sequence.
Because
he's like they've nabbed him.
Yeah.
He's been nabbed by an international crime syndicate.
Yeah, and Henry Cavill is essentially like, you can come with me or you can get
killed by the Russians. Because yeah. I need you know someone who can find your dad. And I need to find your dad because he was a Nazi, but his heart wasn't in it. So I want to help him.
He was forced to work with the Nazis, but he himself was not a Nazi. Yeah. And then we have the first chase sequence. I'm trying to think of everything that happens in that.
I mean, there's the music. The music's a standout in this movie for me. Like, I really enjoy, like, all the, like, do that kind of music and stuff. Sit like that. Like, I don't know. The music's just great. He's a great director.
Have you seen Baby Driver?
Yeah, I've seen Baby Driver. Okay, Mel made me watch him.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it before, but she's like, we gotta watch Baby Driver.
Nice.
I say, yeah, well, I'm willing to see it.
Yeah.
Not opposed to the idea of a baby driving, and boy, was I disappointed.
Okay.
Boy, was I fucking disappointed by that fucking... I thought I was about to watch fucking, like, Boss Baby meets NASCAR.
Okay.
And it was a man.
So at least...
Who also does Warhammer. A little fun connection with Henry Cavill there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have their little car chase...
Yeah, Alicia Vikander is driving Henry Cavill, who's like leaning back, trying to stay hidden.
Yeah, and looking at his map.
Yes. And then Armie Hammer pulls up next to them, and Henry Cavill shoots at him, but he ducks very quickly. And then he has the line, like, let's hope he doesn't drive as quick as he moves.
And he does, yeah. And they have the cool, like, handbrake turning around. Like, I don't know, that's what got me to see this movie. Was that's like the opening of the trailer?
Okay.
Is that fucking like scene?
Yeah.
And all the car and the crazy car shit they do. And I'm like, this is going to be a good fucking spy movie.
Okay.
Has car shit, Henry Cavill being an actual spy, and like that fraud James Bond, and a hot woman. That's everything I want in a movie.
At some point toward the end, Henry Cavill's car is destroyed in the chase. This is like a 15-minute, 20-minute chase sequence. Yeah. He shoots the wheel of Alicia Vikander's car, and she's struggling to get away, and he like runs up to the car and is like grabs onto the back.
It's one of my favorite lines because she's like, do you have a shot? And he's like, somehow it just seems like it's the wrong thing to do.
And Armie Hammer's like physically trying to stop the car,
kind of making it happen,
and then just accidentally rips the back
too strong
off.
Too yeah. strong. That's why you gotta be a twunk, not a hunk. You gotta have that small bit of skinniness to you. He's too heavy. If he was a bit lighter, a bit smaller, a bit more able to put cat ears on, send a femboy Hooters, he would have stopped the car. That's my opinion.
Okay.
I wrote about it in my movie blog, Femboys in Cinema.
I'm not joking. If you were to start that, I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah. I'm just worried about the people I would attract, the followers. I'd hate them all.
So they drive in between these two buildings and then get stuck. And Alicia Vikander, Gabby, that's her name,
yeah,
right?
Gabby.
Gabby is just like, yo, we were never going to make it. What now? And Henry Cavill, Napoleon Solo, just goes, open your window and make a left into that window.
And they get out and they have the cool like Americans helping them out on the other side, the cool CIA shit. It's also where we get the introduction to his character, because because at one point they're like cornered and he gets out of the car and she drives away, or she like drives up the sidewalk, so the guy drives back to check where she was, and then Napoleon tries to kill him right before that he runs after the car.
Yeah.
And we get like a little like slideshow of like what, that's my Russian impression. I fucked it up really badly. I don't know how to do Russian.
Okay.
Because like Polish, she's like baby baby bull bear, and I guess it's kind of Russian, but baby baby Napoleon. There we go. Perfect. I'm a man of 1,000 voices. But they do like this whole like slideshow about like the character where it's like he was an art. Mm. He served in World War II, but then he became an art thief after the war, and no one could catch him, and only by luck did they catch him, and now he's the CIA's little fucking sub that they make go do missions for him.
He's like their best operator agent.
Yeah, he's their sub. He's domed by the CIA into doing risky business.
Essentially, that was their plea deal to get him out of doing serious prison
time. CIA. I mean, that's how we got the Nazis.
Fair.
So the actual guy who did the rockets, was it Herzog?
I think so.
Like, there's like a Disney ad. Like a Disney promotional thing that he's in it. No, Herzog's Werner Herzog. I was thinking, was he a Nazi? Was Werner Herzog a Nazi?
Is that
why he hates chickens so much? Because it's weird eugenics shit?
I don't know. Is that why he did that weird Nosferatu remake?
The Nazis love vampires.
He was real into German expressionism, and so he decided to remake it 60 years later.
Should be, which is ironic, because being a Nazi, the Nazis hated that. They burned it all down. Braun was the rocket guy, and there's like a thing of him at Disneyland doing like a promotional thing because he had come to America to build nukes for us, and they're like, let's send him to Disney World. It's like, that man was a Nazi. He's one of the biggest Nazis. He's not even like one of the fun Nazis. He's just a very serious man who killed people. It's not like he's fucking Hess, who was insane in so many different ways. You know the story of Hess?
No.
It's vaguely spyish. I can segue it in.
Okay, go for it.
A crazy man would put different parts of his body in different pots to heal ailments full of water, and he tried to levitate chairs with his mind. But he had the correct idea that Germany couldn't win World War II on a two-front war. The Russians would destroy them if they had to be on two fronts. So he had decided to get Britain out of the war through negotiation. And then he had met the Duke of, I don't know, some place in England at a party before the war. And he's like, I know him. He'll listen to me. And so he like sneakily learned to fly a plane, got a plane customized so one person could fly it. He left a letter for Hitler, let him know what he's doing. And then he flew the plane by himself to England, crashed in a field, was caught by a farmer. And he said, take me to the Duke of whatever. And the cops just arrested him because this was like the, you know, like 19th, 20th century, not 1500s England where the Duke held actual power. It was just a man with a title and couldn't actually decide how the country was run. And so he spent the rest of the war in British jail.
Okay. So where were we in the they escape, they do the grappling hook zip line, they get away.
We've all been there.
Then it's the CIA and the KGB decide to team up in Army Hammer, and
yeah, like the next day there's a little meetup.
They have their fight in the bathroom and then they realize that they're about to be partners, where the KGB leader in Russian was like, don't kill your partner on your first day, and Henry Cavill's like, what did he just say? No, I understand what he said, but what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, so because they have the little like explaining the plot of the movie scene in like a crowded diner, and after the two guys leave, they're like, oh, say hi to the wife, because they do this all the time, which is true to history. Everyone else in the diner leaves because it was all just fucking plans. They're like, there's a criminal organization with ties to former Nazis.
Yeah.
They're building the bomb, Henry. Yes,
in order to get in, like, in order to get Gabby's dad and, like, to get in... to the Nazi, like, to get steal the Nazi warhead
from Italian fascists.
Yes. Army Hammer, who, oh my, is it Kurlyovsky, something like that?
I always think of him as Red Peril.
Yeah, he just calls him Peril because
I don't acknowledge the Russian people.
Okay.
They split the motherland into half. Warsaw was torn in half for how many decades, Harrison? I do not respect the Tsar's legacy.
But Arby Hammer is Alicia Vikander. It's going to be playing Alicia Vikander's fiance.
And we get his backstory too, which is that his dad went to the gulag for stealing, and his mom was a whore.
Yeah, his dad was like high ranking among Stalin's friends, which makes me wish that this was a secret sequel to Death of Stalin.
Steve Buscemi shows up.
Yes. Who do you think would be Peril's dad in?
Well, none of them, because none of them go to the grand.
And also, they're all real people. Never mind.
It's like a guy that we would have heard of before.
Yeah.
Like they were talking about. I will say the one unrealistic thing in this movie does come up at this point, in my opinion, the most unrealistic thing, which is that the Italians are on the losing side. Historically, the Italians have always been on the winning side. They have never... The country of Italy, the nation of Italy, has never lost a world war. Because they always switch at the last moment to the winning side. Like, they've never lost a world war.
Okay.
Like, next when that happens, we need to make sure, like, Italy's on the other side. I do not want them on our side, because that's a bad omen.
And then they'll switch to our side in the last...
Yeah, and they're like, fuck, we're going to win. Hell yeah.
In the 11th hour. In the fucking last 2 minutes of the game.
Like, in the Second World War, it makes sense, because the people just killed Mussolini because they hated him so much. The first one was just Italy being like, this doesn't look good. This is the, you know what? I'm not feeling it right now. I think we should get on the other side, away from the Ottomans.
So, Henry Cavill is playing an art thief. It is essentially.
Yeah,
he's an art curator.
Henry Cavill is Henry Cavill's a man playing an art thief playing an art thief.
Yes,
that's his cover.
An art thief playing a CIA agent. I keep wanting to say operator. A CIA agent playing an art thief. And then Armie Hammer is an architect. And Gabby is just the Nazi's daughter.
Yeah, and fiance.
Yes, the fiance.
What a lucky man, that Ruski.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of lucky men in this movie, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because like the villainess, whose name eludes me.
Keep vamping, I'll look it up. I can't.
She's in like a happy, loving relationship with her husband. Like they could have made it not a loving relationship very easily. I feel like that's a trope they use a lot. Where like the woman's the mastermind, she doesn't give a shit about the husband. But in fact, giving a shit about the husband is her downfall. That was just a nice, happy relationship they had where they also fucked people on the side. I know you're against polyamory, but I think that it was a strong, healthy relationship.
Victoria Vinciguerra.
Yeah.
Because it's the Vinciguerra Shipping Company.
Yeah.
They're just a happy,
open relationship.
So, are they in an open relationship, or are they in an open as needed relationship? Because she really only fucks Henry Cavill for like power and information.
I don't know. I like to think that they're just fucking around. Maybe they both fuck the same person at the same time. A little couple bonding experience. You ever do that with Geneva?
No.
You probably should.
No.
I heard it's good for the soul.
I'm okay. Thank you though.
Oh. If you had to choose one person to fuck with Geneva, who would it be and why?
I don't have anyone. I have no desire.
You don't have, well, who's your one celebrity?
What?
Who's your one celebrity?
I don't have one.
Bullshit. Everyone has one celebrity. Who is it?
I don't have one. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know that where it's like the couple agrees. Each person has their one celebrity that if they're in a situation to fuck, they get to fuck. And that's agreed upon.
First off, we've never had that conversation. Second off, I don't really have one. I'm pretty chill right now.
Suspicious.
Okay.
I have to talk to Geneva. I don't trust a man who doesn't want to fuck a celebrity. Dangerous minds right here. Get Spencer on the phone.
Okay.
From the hit TV show Dangerous Minds.
Criminal Minds?
Same thing.
Okay.
Are you saying criminals aren't dangerous?
No,
criminals. Okay. Hates polyamory, loves serial killers. Harrison Poole.
Is this going to be the bit for this episode?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Unfortunately. You were the one that, like, before we started recording, I mentioned polyamorous, and you were like, meh.
I don't remember that.
Because I was like, do you hate... I'm like, well, okay, Mr. Hates polyamory. And, like, I was expecting your general thing. Like, when I say Halloween, where you're like, no, I don't hate it. And there was, like, a pause for a second. And you're like, I mean, they can do what they want.
No, I mean, y'all are adults. Do what you want. I don't care. It's not for me.
Just sounds very similar to being a... Look, they can do what they want. Like, a man can love a man as long as I don't have to hear about it.
Jesus Christ. So,
showing your age. Becoming an old bigot.
27?
Yeah, old bigot.
Okay. Where are we?
They got their cover identities. And they're about to go to Rome.
Yes, and they have that cutesy scene. They have the cutesy shopping scene.
They have a very catty, bitchy scene.
Yes.
Like, one thing that goes throughout this movie that I'm really into is that Red Peril and Napoleon constantly have these catty fights about, like, fashion. Like, constantly. Like, they're like, are you going to wear that brand? No, that's a fat brand. That tie doesn't go with your suit. It's just like the most catty fucking shit. Because they bicker constantly, but most of it's about their fashion taste. And I'm like,
Sure. Yeah. No, 1,000. But yeah, Armie Hammer dresses Alicia Vikander up in the correct clothes.
The correct 60s clothes.
Yes.
Because he had dressed her like she was an iron curtain lady.
They have that cutesy moment outside where he starts talking about the steps and
bullshitting about the steps, because she's like quizzing him, and he's like actually they're made by Russians. It was a Russian architect.
And so she was, yeah.
And like, and he keeps spinning the story. The math ends up that she would have been like 135, but no, she wasn't 135. She was 100, but even then, she gave birth at 65.
And then Henry Cavill is just out in public.
Yeah,
he's
hanging out. Like Minfall, gotta be a pussy. They're gonna mug you.
Yeah,
take it up the ass. Well, because one of them is like very much a wet works kind of guy, and one guy isn't a wet works kind of guy. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like he just poor Rusky does not have any like interpersonal spying skills. He's very good at like the back end of things, but this man cannot talk to anybody without being
absolutely not.
This man's a KGB agent.
But yeah, they get robbed. They get robbed by the two Italian mobsters.
Takes dad's watch, his gulag dad's watch.
Yes. Then is the hotel scene where Henry Cavill fucks the secretary and...
not the secretary? What's the name of that? It's not a secretary. It's a esteemed position. Hotelier?
Okay.
The Grand Budapest Hotel is based off that position.
Fair enough. I apologize.
That's an accomplished woman right there that you're reducing to the role of secretary.
I wasn't trying to reduce
her.
She's
a strong, powerful, independent woman who can fuck whoever she wants.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed. I was not trying to reduce her. I apologize. I will.
Big fan of all the Italian women in this movie.
Of course you are.
I'm a big fan of Italian women in general. And by following that, New Jersey women.
Yes.
This movie's a treat.
You and I have had many a conversation about Jersey Girls.
Oh, I love it. If you're a Jersey girl and you're listening to this, twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com, if you could send your shoulder measurements and a picture of your eyebrows, we'll get in touch.
Okay.
That's what I look for. Someone once pointed out that every time I talk about women, I'm describing like a racehorse.
Yes.
I'm like, good shoulders, strong brow.
So
looks like it could lift quite a bunch.
Henry Cavill is sleeping with the hotelier while Alicia Vikander and Armie Hammer are in their hotel room pretending to be a couple,
doing the most sexual of all acts in my opinion, wrestling.
Yes,
I love a wrestle.
I am aware. I have heard the stories,
and I just love that. I love that, like, he's like, he has a thing for her, but he's not into the wrestling. Because he's like, oh, you want to wrestle? Then he goes, I did not say that.
But yeah, they start wrestling. She falls asleep on top of him after she essentially tackles him.
Because she's drinking like an entire bottle of, like, I said vodka because I was going to say vodka. But I'm not sure what it is. Because she's like, are you going to help me drink this?
It's some kind of clear liquid.
Are you going to help me drink this? And he goes, no, I got to play chess by myself. I need to play chess by myself. It reminds me that father is in Gulag.
But he has an ELO of 2401.
Father is in Gulag. Have to play chess myself. That's not a bad Russian accent. Where'd that come from? I don't think I've ever done anything that even half as decent as that was.
Then he
gives her... See, empty chair represents father in Gulag.
The next day he gives her the new engagement ring, which is also a tracking device.
I gave you a tracking device. Wish father had one so I could find Gulag.
It's that they go... They see.
That's like the entire character in my head is like... Oh, father is in Gulag. Hit man really hard now. Men will not wake up for 20 minutes. Unlike father in Gulag. Work day and night. Never get to sleep. Play chess to remember father in Gulag.
Okay. You good?
Yeah. I'm vibing, bro.
Hell yeah, dude. Then it's the party where they meet the rich uncle who... The uncle...
Well, first they bump into a secret character that we'll approach again later.
I'm doing Armie Hammer and Gabby's story, and then I'm going to do Henry Cavill's story.
Yeah, they meet the rich, creepy uncle. Yes. Creepy from the start. We find out he's very creepy.
Is a Nazi, right?
Yeah, is a Nazi.
Yeah.
Not to say all Nazis are creepy.
I'm willing to say
if
that.
All Nazis were creepy, I don't think they would have gotten to power. It's why we have to remember that, like, everyone that met Hitler and wasn't Jewish loved him. He was like a really nice guy, got his friends good gifts, very fun guy to hang out with. Because if you just kind of reduce them to being creepy, evil people,
sure,
you kind of forget that, like, they can be anyone. And
sure,
yeah, the danger is that they're not all like bullied as a child.
Yeah, they're monsters among us, and they look like
yeah.
us.
Yeah, but this man, I would clock him immediately as some sort of Nazi.
And he starts insulting Armie Hammer, essentially calling him cattle. It's saying that he's built like the builder, not the architect.
Yeah, and he's like, well, a racehorse is not breed with a cart horse.
Yes.
And it's like, buddy, you're German. Like, I'm not saying these are not hot Germans, but you're in Italy right now. You can't go around like, I'm a racehorse. First off, sure, your daughter is gorgeous. She could ride me up and down the track, which is an inversion of a typical rider racehorse relationship. But I'm willing to cross that line. You look like if a California raisin had a dream to be a man and wished really hard upon a star, and it came true. He's a hideous looking man. Apologies to the actor. What an awful looking fucking prune of a guy. Oh fuck, I forgot to mention, it's something I noticed rewatching it, is that the American handler, is the dude from fucking Chernobyl.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Yeah, he's the main guy from Chernobyl.
Nice. I've not seen Chernobyl.
Seen parts. It's really good. They do the thing where everyone sounds British, which I always enjoy. They're like, we're not going to even try.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
I hope we never see a Russian accent in a Russian-themed movie again. It's all just British people doing British accents. That's our new world we live in.
Dude, it's Death of Stalin where everyone just does whatever accent they happen to have in real life.
It's just, so it's just fucking, hey, what's his fucking name? I completely blanked. Holy fucking shit.
Steve Buscemi.
Okay, I was about to say the character he plays in Boardwalk Empire, but now I forgot that name, having remembered the true name of Steve Buscemi.
So he offends, the uncle offends Henry Cavill, and rather than beat the shit out of him,
You've been doing this all episode. I haven't said a thing.
Oh, damn it. He offends Armie Hammer, and rather than beating the shit out of him, Armie Hammer decides to walk away.
He goes, excuse me, I have to go think about father and Gulag.
He goes to the bathroom to use the sink.
Is your husband okay? He has to go think about his father in the Gulag. He does it a lot.
And there are these three
punks.
Italian posh kids.
Like punks. They're little punky posh kids. You look at them and you're like, needle necks, you know?
Yes. And he's like, I need to use the sink. And they're sitting on the sink. And so they're just like
just covered in Italian grease and hair gel.
Just use the women's, and they're just so rude to him. And so he beats the shit out of them off screen. He shuts the door to the bathroom, and locks
unlike
it.
And like Kingsman, where they're like, oh, look at this punk. They're immediately shitting themselves. It's like, yeah, why do you insult a man who's like three times your size? Like, what do you think's going to happen?
I think they're so rich that they genuinely, it's an affluenza thing.
Yeah, because it is like one of them's like the son of a count, I guess.
Yes. And then the son of the shipping leader, the husband, the son of the grandson of the shipping empire.
The son of the Italian fascist who smuggled Nazi gold to South America.
He's flirting with Alicia Vikander and I keep wanting to say Henry Cavill.
I'm watching your words, your mouth's moving. Does not say the right name.
And Armie Hammer is just like, yo, we need to get the fuck out of here. And so they do.
He's like, you'll not fuck my wife. You'll not fuck my wife.
Yes.
Father's audience gulag, you'll not fuck wife.
All right. That's the end of their scene.
He does a very good job acting in this movie. Like, he does a wonderful job in this movie. I'm just stuck on the idea of him being utterly obsessed with his father in the gulag, which I guess, you know, is a very understandable situation to be in. Like, it's fair. Yeah, your father's in the gulag. That fucking sucks. But it's like everything comes back to that.
Is your D&D character this much of a stereotype?
I mean, everything comes back. Yeah, because I realized watching this that the character I played in a Star Wars D&D game is basically this character. I forgot, like, he's the biggest inspiration. Everything comes back to his dead wife.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's layers to him. Like, there's layers to the character in this movie. But everything kind of circles back to, like, wife is dead.
Yeah. Henry Cavill bumps into Hugh Grant, who's Waverly,
he's a secret character who will return to, who we'll need later, you know, yes. He's going to show up later.
Yeah.
Would you suspect, because like, it's Hugh fucking Grant. Because
it's Hugh Grant. Like, you look at it, it's like, is that Hugh Grant? Like, it's they underutilize him in the beginning.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, is that Hugh Grant? Is he just friends with Guy Ritchie that, like, he agreed to do this one scene for no goddamn reason?
For the sandwich.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's his sandwich. Henry Cavill ate it. That's a blooper they left in.
Henry Cavill stole...
Fuck Hugh.
Stole Hugh Grant's...
Delicious sandwich. Drank his wine. What a prick.
He stole...
I would have done it too. I can't judge him.
He stole Hugh Grant's invitation and sneaks into the party and then gets into a fight with a posh dude. Like a Duke dude.
He gets into a fight with, I believe, one of the people working the event.
Maybe.
I don't think he's posh. I think he's a common working man. I assumed he was like staff because he has like a little name tag on.
Oh, I didn't see the name tag.
I'm pretty sure he's a name tag. He looks like staff because he's just kind of he's not really mingling. He just like is looking around at people. I think he's like security.
Oh, fair enough. I viewed it as you don't belong here, not like a security, but as like a you don't belong here situation.
Yeah, but he gets in the fight so he can get the attention of
Victoria.
Yeah, that fucking hot piece of ass. And he then steals everything from her in a matter of seconds. He steals like five things of jewelry from her. He steals like, and it's part of his cover because he's like, actually, I'm a thief. But he like steals like a woman that he bumps into who's like bracelet. Like he's robbing people left and fucking right.
Essentially offering his services.
It's like one of those YouTube videos where you watch where it's like they get a pickpocket on and they show how quick a pickpocket can work. Like it's that level of like, I've taken everything you own. And later I'm going to take your fucking, take you in bed. Decided to be less crude there.
Hell yeah.
Because I mostly would say take your virginity, but that woman, that's a MILF. That's a seasoned woman. Shook the chandelier in that scene. Okay. Don't do that with the virgin. Unless the virgin is very strong. Gotta be careful of that.
So, But he's essentially offering his services of like, yo, I can steal some art for you, and flirting the entire time. And he does the suavest thing in the goddamn world and pulls a tablecloth on a full table and doesn't disrupt
anything. Is that the suavest thing in the world?
Yes.
Is that your opinion what the suavest thing in the world is?
If I saw a man do that in real life, I would want to speak to that man.
All right.
He instantly becomes 10% hotter.
See, I don't know. I disagree based on personal experience. Anytime I've tried to be suave like that, got in nowhere. But like, get some drinks in me and just let me bumble forward in a direction, and I will end up fucking. I don't know what it is.
You get out of your own way and you don't think?
Maybe, but it's
you're
not
trying.
Maybe, but there's the bumbling element to it. It's not like, oh, I'm not thinking about it too hard, so I'm smooth. And I have to stress, I'm like three drinks in. I am a mess. But perhaps just a skinny scarecrow being like, hey, wanna fucking wrestle? It's just what gets a woman fucking wet.
Is that essentially what else happens?
I mean, that's essentially how it goes. I'm like, you want to wrestle, and then okay, they get wet. Yeah, that's the essentials
I'm
of most
about
of my
the scene, asshole. What else happens in that scene?
I mean, that's the end of Henry Cavill's-ness, I think.
Okay. And then is next they break into the safe?
Well, next they go back to the hotel, because he's like, he's been in there for 30 minutes, and they talk in Typho, but he shows that he was taking photographs the whole time, and it's been ruined by gamma radiation, which means that there's been radioactive material around.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm gonna go sleep on it. And then and it turns out sleeping on it is breaking in, but the Ruski has the same idea. He's like, cannot sleep, think about Father and Gulag too much. And then we have a little fun scene where they're like doing their skills back and forth and stuff. Like the Russians have some better technology, which is I don't think ever true. And then like and they're like, oh, you do it wrong, cowboy, do it like this. And he's like, ah, hey, yo, fuck you. I can pick a lock in 10 seconds flat. And they eventually get inside because he's cut the power, and he's like, we're gonna look around.
Yeah. And Armie Hammer does the weird fucking
the kiss
where he knocks the guard unconscious because he thinks he has his father's watch, and he like knocks the guard unconscious, but he's standing perfectly,
he's like,
still.
do not touch like I wish to touch Father and Gulag, warm hug.
But
but because of that they find the secret safe. Mm-hmm. Which is both empty and also has an alarm. We get a really cool safe cracking scene where it has a line you really like, where he's like, they weren't that good at stealing. And it's like, what about the alarm? And he's like, so you don't have alarms. And the alarm goes off.
Yeah. He goes on this whole long explanation about how difficult this safe is to crack and how it's like basically impenetrable. And then he's like, but there's one design flaw, and it's that the Swiss who designed this safe were not thieves, or like, we're not very good at stealing, and I am.
He gets in perfect. Probably a second. I'm trusting Napoleon on this. I think the alarm was second hand, sure. Like aftermarket.
Yeah. Honestly, if you can break the safe that like that easily,
I'm trusting you on your knowledge of the safe's factory specifications.
Yes, 1000%.
And so then we have the cool like shootout, running around, fighting scene. There's a boat chase, which I don't want to linger on too much. That's a terrifying idea for me.
But yeah, they jump out the window and just slam on the dock. Both of them.
Because he jumps out, he's like, I go out that way. And he runs, he's like, coming, father. And he shoots the glass, and hear a thud, and he jumps out, hits the same space.
But they do the quick boat chase. Henry Cavill gets knocked off and goes into a semi-truck.
Yeah, he gets out, he's swimming away, and the guys are like, hold on, cowboy.
And Henry,
we have my favorite scene in this movie. Second favorite scene. My first favorite scene's when Gabby's dancing. What a woman. But my second favorite scene, almost the same level of sexual excitement, is when Henry Cavill's like cleaning himself off in this truck he's broken into. He enjoys a delicious wine, like tomato cheese sandwich, and like just looks like a really good sandwich, dude. I'm a slut for a really good sandwich. Like my the biggest perk for me of working at Sheetz, of which there were few.
Correct.
Was mozzarella sticks before my every shift.
Okay.
Like when I was in college, sophomore, junior year, and literally all I would eat, except like when I'd go to like the student center or stuff or go out to eat, but like left to my own devices, all I fucking ate was like probably a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper every 2 days. So like 6 Dr. Peppers a day, Stouffer's, energy drinks, and mozzarella sticks from Rosie's. Like, that was my entire diet. It was the thinnest I ever was. So that was a perk. But the other perk was we got half off.
Yeah.
And I'd always get the big deli subs with the Italian meats and the tomato and the lettuce, and my mouth is watering already, and the Italian dressing, and I would take that home and like eat it. That'd be like my lunch and dinner for the next day. Oh, I fucking love an Italian sandwich. I also love an Italian sandwich.
I would do the
pussy.
I would do the chicken quesadilla. And then I would put, when we had that Nashville hot sauce, that like specialty hot sauce. Oh, mwah.
It's a shame we were like Sheetz works like sucks so much to work at, because it really is like, it's a good place to get food. Like if you're out traveling and you see a Sheetz, you're like, thank fucking God. Because there's some actually decent food there.
Yeah.
Not the fucking steak. That never eat that steak, but oh, spoiler from you. Me and you to the audience. It's bad. Don't eat it. It's not good.
Do they still serve it?
Yeah, that's like a core thing. Oh. The shredded steak.
Oh, okay.
That's a core menu item, sadly.
I haven't been looking for it lately.
The pulled pork's really good, too. It's going to become a food podcast pretty soon.
But back to that movie sandwich. I don't like tomatoes, but that like Italian,
like a good tomato and a nice
bread
sandwich.
Yeah, man,
dude, those
tomatoes, they looked amazing.
Back when
that turkey and Swiss.
Back when we had the deli, Boris had deli. I would always get the fucking Godfather, which is like the Italian. I get the melted like provolone on it on a pretzel bun. I get some then right, because we have a hot sandwich. Put some lettuce. Put some tomatoes. Put some Italian dressing on that bitch.
Oh, baby. So he saves Henry... Henry Cavill saves Armie Hammer
eventually
from drowning.
He eats the sandwich in the most pornographic scene in this movie. And then, like,
and
he's about to drive
to an
off.
Italian love song.
He's about to drive off, and he's like, ah, fuck. So he just drives the truck onto the boat, sinks the boat, then does the thing where, like, you wait for that to get underwater, then you let the water in. And then he swims out and saves him.
Yeah. And then Victoria essentially hears all of this is going down and tries to contact Henry Cavill. Can't get a hold of him. Armie Hammer, Henry Cavill race to their hotel
rooms.
It's
one of my favorite fucking scenes because they are truly scampering.
Yes.
Like schoolyard boys. Like they're going, fuck, fuck, fuck. And they're like, hide. They're like, oh shit. And they're like scampering, scampering, scampering.
So by the time Victoria enters his hotel room, he's pretending to be in a robe brushing
the toilet flush, and he's like, care for a grape, which is the suaveness I can not associate with, what's the word,
possess.
Yeah, I'll say possess. Yeah, that'd be a move I would make, is like, would you care for a grape? Granted, I'd be drunk off my ass attempting to feed them the grape, and this could not even be sexual. I feed people when I'm drunk.
I'm aware.
I saw a play that a friend was in, and afterwards I was drunk at the bar, and there's a younger cast member who's like 20, so he wasn't drinking, and I'd finished my salad, but there was a tomato left, and I'm like, you gotta eat this tomato. He's like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm a man trying to make sure that you can grow up big and healthy because you ate your veggies, so one day you can have a lead role instead of a background character. Eat the tomato. And he's like, oh my God. He opened his mouth. I'm like, there you go.
So
you're gonna be in two scenes next time now.
So Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer is essentially we forgot about the trackers. Yep. So
there's a scene where they toss bugs back and forth. Yes. They're constantly bugging each other.
Yes. And Henry Cavill got all of them except for the one that was in his shoe.
Yeah, so he's trying to tune in to listen.
And we just hear Victoria moan.
And the chandelier starts shaking. She's a MILF with skill.
And Alicia Vikander's just like, I don't think he needs your help. And the next morning...
Feeding people works.
Hell yeah.
You feed them, you wrestle them, and you fuck them.
That's, yeah.
Or if you're me, they can fuck you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude. So that's your advice?
Yeah. Get drunk, wrestle, feed, be submissive.
If that works for you, I'm happy.
Which
for
is wild,
you.
I need to win the wrestling. Like, I need to win the wrestling. And I often win the wrestling. But after that, I'm like, sorry, I'm giving you the wrong impression here. I need you to be the dominant one in the bet. I just personally, I need to be the winner of this wrestling. It's a matter of pride. Like, I was with this girl who's like damn near dominatrix, and I would still, like, I have to win this wrestling. It's like arm wrestling. Like, I love arm wrestling. Little twink I am is like, I'm going to win this arm wrestling because my arm's twice as long as theirs because I'm Doug Jones shaped.
Sure, sure.
Meet a woman who was like a buff muscle woman. Uh-huh. I worked with her and I was arm wrestling everyone that day because it was a slow day. I'm like, I want to arm wrestle. And so she's like a big woman. She like works out, like actually buff. And I beat her. And then everyone was like, oh, it's all just show muscle, and like ruined her reputation.
But you just won because of like physics?
Yeah, because give me a lever long enough. Because I'm stronger than I look, and my arm's twice as long as hers.
Oh,
so it evens
sure,
out.
Sure.
Oh. She was the only one who knew I actually had kitchen skills.
Nice.
Because she like didn't do a lot of food service. But she was in the back of house. So sometimes I'm like, what? You don't cut like that. No, what are you doing? Let me show you how to do it. Let me show you how to do this. No, use an emulsion blender. What are you doing?
So what's the next scene?
The next scene is they go up and they're putting the tracker on her leg.
Yes, because they're going to Nazi uncle and Nazi husband, Italian Nazi fascist husband.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's a Nazi.
Fascist,
yeah.
Okay.
Or his great, I'm not even sure they're fascists. I think they're just a weird quasi non-political criminal organization.
A generational fascist.
Yeah, he's a generational fascist.
Yes, and... Yes, Alicia Vikander essentially sells both of them out.
They skipped a lot there.
No, I skipped one scene. She schedules with her uncle.
Because she's got the, because she...
And then she rings up
she
room
rings up
304.
Because and he's like, yeah, I'm going to have a party. Or she's like, come over and I want to apologize to your husband. And she's like, all right, I'll be there. And then she rings the 304 and she's like, I'll be at the meeting is arranged. And it goes, wah, wah, wah. It's all dramatic. And then we have a scene where he's like, has to check the tracker. He's like, go check the tracker. He's like, you can check the tracker. He's like, it's your technology. I'll be outside. He goes outside and she's like, what are you doing down there? He's like, trying not to get lost. And they're like, she's like, why are you shaking? She's like, I'm scared. He's like, I'll be there for you. And they're about to kiss. And he's like, all right, I'm back. Hey, yo.
Yes. And then
he's in his van and he's like, he's watching her and shit.
Yes. She meets the Nazi uncle. Army Hammer is a few hundred feet back, essentially with like binoculars. And
we see later the flashback that reveals what actually happens. But at the same time that he realizes he's sold out, is the scene where Napoleon's in the office.
My
of the
favorite moment of the movie, where Napoleon goes into Victoria's office and she's like, make yourself comfortable, make yourself a drink. And he makes himself a scotch. And immediately, he tastes it. Like, immediately, he's like, God damn it, I fell for it. And she laced this drink.
Yeah.
She's
like, I laced all the drinks.
Yeah. He's like, how did you know I was going to go for the scotch? And my favorite moment, just because this is the thing you would do.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I laced all the drinks. I didn't want to leave anything up to chance.
And she's like, what are you doing? She's like, making myself comfortable so I'm gonna hurt. And honestly, if it isn't for like the following scene. This is my dream meet cute. So I try to steal from a woman. She drugs me, lays on a couch like a cat looking down at me.
Calls herself your mummy?
Yeah, calls herself mother. That's like a dream meet. That's one of my top 10.
That's a thing we can unpack. Not here, not on mic. That's a thing we can unpack with the professional.
There's nothing to unpack. I just like strong women and I like to be abused. I get a thrill.
You know what? Good for you. You know what? I'm happy for you.
The two things that make me hard. Being abused, delicious sandwiches. Which is probably why I like Italian so much. Okay. I also like Jewish women. And again, I think it comes back to, I mean, they're hot.
Yeah.
And then they have like a deli culture. I think of the, like, because like Cameron always says like, oh, he doesn't trust my food opinions because he says that like I'm a garbage bag and I'll eat anything. And that's true. I will eat anything, even terrible food. I once ate a quesarito that was half eaten in the back of a fridge that no one knows who it was or how long it had been in there. And I ate it. But just because I have a very low floor doesn't mean I don't also have a high ceiling.
Sure.
Because, like, well, I will eat anything because I'm constantly hungry and burning calories and weight. I'm losing weight currently sitting here. I also enjoy a delicious meal.
Sure.
And so I think I have such a high regard for Italians and New Jersey, because New Jersey is kind of Jewish and Italian. Fuck, that's what it is. It's the promise of in proximity of like Jewish and
Jewish,
Italian.
Italian, Irish, Catholics.
Yeah. Like
it's literally all three
all
of them.
My favorite food types.
All three of your favorite people, women?
Yeah, because I'm bringing the Polish.
Yeah.
Yeah, food-wise.
But yeah, Henry Cavill gets knocked out, and he comes to in an electric chair, like a torture chair. And the uncle Nazi is...
He's also is three serial killers in one package.
Yes.
And he goes, I was bullied as a child.
Yeah.
I was bullied, but then the Nazis let me do things.
Oh yeah, World War happened, and
look
I got to become a scientist.
Book.
Yeah,
and he's like scientist in the way that like, I guess not because he actually like did he does he no he didn't work for the Americans. Scientist like Mengele was a scientist, which is like a toddler's understanding of how science works.
Fair enough.
He would get two twins. One of the things he did, he had two twins, and he injected dye into the eyes of one into their What part of the eye is that? The iris?
Yeah.
And to see if it would change the color of the other twins.
Oh my god.
And he would just do a lot of things like that, where he's trying to prove some supernatural connection between twins. He also once stood on a pregnant woman's stomach and timed how long before it pushed the baby out.
Jesus.
Yeah, like at the railway.
Jesus Christ.
And then he noted it like he had done something. It's like, what did you accomplish? Like, there are Nazis doing like terrible science right now that at least gave us like useful information that we hate using, but it's like, how cold can a human body survive? How hot can it survive? Which really helped in the space race. Like, there's terrible knowledge that we would have never known otherwise, probably, because you'd have to be a fucking monster to discover it.
Yeah.
And then you're just doing this, the horrific things that give us nothing. What useless information?
Ugh.
And you know, he lived. He was one of the ones that went to South America. Died of a heart attack.
Oh. Huh.
Supposedly, I think.
Sure.
That might be a rumor.
Sure.
Or it's true. I think it might be true. I think he's one of the ones who actually got away, but they think he was in South America. But like, yeah, we never caught Mengele.
There's the short circuit in the chair. He fixes it for temporarily. Victoria leaves. Nazi uncle Rudolph. Rudy does his whole like spiel. And Army Hammer walks in.
This is my scrap. Again, he's shocking for a bit. And we see he's like bleeding and stuff. And then we see Army Hammer in the background like, shh, shh.
And then he comes in the room and Henry Cavill's just like, I never thought I'd ever say this, but I'm actually happy to see you. And then Armie Hammer.
Well, we even see that part. He's like, is he giving you trouble, cowboy? And the next scene, he's immediately in the chair.
Yes. And trying to shock, like torture him, because Rudy is ready to sell anyone out.
Yeah, because they torture him a bit. They go, blah, blah. And he's like, I'll sell everybody out. I'll sell out people I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're like, can we talk for a bit? And he's like, oh, man, we should really... Like, we need his information, but I know he's going to get away if we take his information. Like, I've seen it before. And then he's trying to get out of the chair, and then he just sets it off. So in the background, they're having this discussion about, should we keep him? Should we let him go? He's like, fine, we'll use his information. We have to. And then it's like, oh, but how do we do this?
But
and then just the red glow of the fire. And
he's being shocked in the background and lights himself on fire. Yeah.
Just like in Green Mile.
Yeah.
There wasn't a soft sponge on his head.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, damn. My jacket was in there.
yes, and Gabby has now met her father, like re-met her father.
Yeah.
And they're trying to have some secret plan to dismantle the bomb. And it obviously doesn't work. Victoria sees through it right away because, of course, she does.
Yeah. Don't mess with a MILF.
I mean, yeah, correct.
Also, this is a MILF, the alpha predator of women, versus a not MILF.
Also, I love it was a good plan. Like, it was pretty subtle. Like, everything mostly worked, and that's what would have happened in real life. But she saw through it immediately.
Yeah, because this is a saucy lady, but she's not a MILF. She has no power here. It's a Gandalf the White scene.
But she throws Alicia Vikander in a cell, forces her father to complete the bomb. He does, and then fucking murks him. Just right in between the eyes.
You'll join your daughter will join you soon, papa. Yes. And this is where Hugh Grant is revealed to actually be having a starring role in this movie.
Yes. Hugh Grant is Waverly, who's like essentially the British CIA, and they have recruited Gabby to find her father because he knew that Gabby was going to be captured by the Nazis eventually. So he figured he would train her and like get her on his side.
And the two of them fucked it up. He's like, but you can help us.
Yes.
And it's also revealed at this point that... They both, the respective agents, get a message from their respective handlers where it's like, you need to get the plans for the secret enriched uranium. Kill the other guy if you have to.
Yes. And essentially, it becomes a rescue mission.
Yeah.
They're here to get Gabby the fuck out of there. Victoria leaves with the bomb on the boat. And her husband, who I forget his name right now, her husband kidnaps Victoria, not Victoria, kidnaps Gabby.
Kidnaps his wife.
He kidnaps Gabby and is like...
I mean, it would be kidnapping considering she wants to go with the real bomb.
Yeah, I mean, you're wrong. And is getting her away from Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer. There's this really cool chase sequence.
Yeah, and before this, we had like a cool, like the British are moving in secret operative scene.
Henry Cavill's in a dune buggy, Armie Hammer's in a motorcycle, and they're chasing after the generational fascist and Gabby, and they catch up, and Henry Cavill flips their car and gets Gabby out, and the husband starts attacking Henry Cavill, beating him up, and then Armie Hammer comes in to save the day again, and
just stabs that motherfucker.
Yeah, the husband grabs the gun and is about to shoot him, but Armie Hammer like moves the gun away, and with his other
simply takes the gun and says, "Not here."
Yes,
and then stabs.
Yes, and they they rescue Gabby, and now they're on the navy boat.
Yeah. And at this point, we see that Henry Cavill has pocketed the backup plans.
Yes. Yes, he took from the husband. Yes. And they're on the Navy boat trying to figure out.
Because, fuck, this bomb's a dud. And he's like, it's not real? He's like, no, it's a real nasty bomb. It's just not the one we want.
No. He figures out which ship Victoria's on because of photographs and listing the fishing ships
Yeah, because he looked around.
That left at dawn. Yes.
He examined his surroundings like a good spy would, on like that absolute fucking chud, that meathead James Bond, who would have never done such a thing.
And he calls.
He would have just been like, I'm James Bond, and shot his gun a bunch. Thanks. No observational awareness. I'm not done yelling about James Bond and how shitty of a spy he is.
He calls.
When do we see him do any information gathering? He would never do that. He'd be like, Q, I need you to look something up for me because I don't know how to think.
Okay.
Fuck James Bond.
So he calls Victoria's boat.
I feel like you're not vibing with me at this point.
I agreed with you the first two times you were like, fuck James Bond.
Yeah, but now it's feeling like that was just kind of like, yes, honey, of course, dear.
No, not even. I just don't have the energy. I don't have the same hatred for it. Casino Royale rules. Skyfall's fine, and I haven't seen any of the other two.
Never see him eat a cool sandwich.
That's true. Daniel Craig rules as LeBlanc.
Now that he's able to do anything else in his life, all is right. He's good.
Yes. He calls the ship and starts talking to Victoria, and she's essentially explaining how...
Because you got killed your pussy of a husband.
Yes. And she's explaining, like, essentially how dangerous she is and how all of his loved ones will be dead within a year. And they manage to get a lock on her location, and they use the coupler
earlier it's shown that the bombs have a coupling system where they kind of home on each other.
Yes.
So you can drop two bombs, and they'll hit the same target.
Yes, they're accurate within, like, 10 feet. And so... While he's on the phone and they manage to lock where she is.
I think you could just say the bomb's like pinpoint accurate then. I want to be honest, if you're dropping like a bomb, I don't think 10 feet matters.
Sure.
I really, a nuclear device, it's accurate than 10 feet. I think you could just say it's pinpoint accurate for a bomb.
Yeah. And they launch the bomb, and Henry Cavill's essentially like, so while you were explaining how dangerous you were and you were going on your villain monologue...
I punked your MILF ass.
Yeah, I launched the bomb, and
I fucked you before, and now I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah, it is like, so if you want to see another day, I suggest you jump ship, and blows up the ship. And all is saved for that mission. And then it's the next morning, Army Hammer finds out that Henry Cavill... During the British infiltration earlier on, Henry Cavill steals back his dead dad's watch.
Yeah, that'll come up later. But yes. There's a touching scene between Gabby and... Red Scare.
Peril.
Yeah, Red Peril, because he's like, for once, I do not think of fathering Gulag. You're almost as good as thinking about fathering Gulag. But then she goes because he gets a call and he's like, the American has the tape.
Yes.
Do you want to be in the Gulag? No, I think about it all the time, how I do not want to be. And so he goes into a psychotic episode and they go over because he had invited them over for drinks.
Yes. And
really, Napoleon's just a nice guy. Yeah. There is no alternative motive in that. He's like, I want to have some drinks before we go. I know we're like enemies, but let's have some drinks. We had a good time.
Yeah,
Napoleon's a bro.
Yeah, man. They have the talk where they're watching each other
in the mirror, and they have the gun.
And then he gives Army Hammer
because he thinks he's pulling the gun, but he throws a watch. He's like, you know what I'm here to do?
It's like, same thing I was here to do.
And he's like, they want this tape. And they're looking at the tape, and it immediately smash cuts to the tape burning, and they're just drinking on the balcony.
Yes. And then Waverly...
he's like, oh, raw chaps, good choice.
Yes. And he gets Gabby and Henry Cavill and Army Hammer all together, and they're officially a trio now.
Yeah, because he's like, yeah, another thing happened. Because they're like, oh, I hated working with you. And he's like, same cowboy, and he's like, the touching camaraderie. They're like warming up to each other. He's like, anyway, there's a problem, so we're going to be working together again. And he walks off. He's like, codename Uncle, TV show. And he walks away. And then they immediately are like really upset by this information as Gabby just looks around like a lost dog. Yes.
It's United Network of the Command of Law and Enforcement.
I don't know. Something like show. That.
Anyway. And the credits roll. And it's like FBI files on all of the members. And Waverly is essentially the handler of Uncle. And we should have gotten more of these movies.
We should have. It's one of the biggest fucking problems I have with this movie is that there's not more of it. That's the only problem I really have. It's such a fun popcorn movie.
Truly. This is a popcorn. This is a great popcorn movie.
But it was overshadowed by something.
If there's one thing, if there's one word that I could use to describe this movie, it's watchable.
Yeah, and like a good, it's just a fun, it's a movie you go to see at the movie theater and have fun.
Yeah.
Which is a type of movie I think we lack a lot good versions of. Because we have all these terrible blockbusters that suck because they're all trying to build franchises.
Yeah.
And like this set up for a sequel, but they weren't like...
loose ends.
Yeah, yeah. And they're always like, but everything wants to be Marvel these days.
No, but this was a bomb. I think it made $110 million off a $75 million budget and got mixed reviews, which, like, I get it. There are some editing decisions, especially during the psychotic episode moments, that are baffling.
I think it's just an accurate showing of what it's like to have your father in a gulag, and everyone who says otherwise is ableist and against mental health.
Okay, but this is like a gentleman
easily he breezes past his distaste of the mentally ill.
This is like a gentleman six, maybe a seven on a good day, and like it's not even kind of perfect, and it's endlessly watchable, and I love it a lot. It's super good. It's pretty good.
Fun. It's what a spy movie's supposed to be, which is just fun, good time with actual spying.
See, yes, I don't know if I want another guy. I would want another Guy Ritchie Man from U.N.C.L.E. I kind of would want this to be a series where like a different director takes these characters in different directions. If that makes like
God, there's another bomb that that week, I think, even
what
Fantastic Four.
Oh sure, Fanforstic.
Yeah, Fanforstic came out then. American Ultra.
Oh damn.
Sinister 2. Hitman Agent 47 came out. That there's a lot of like agent movies that month.
I'm trying to think, do you have anything to add other than this movie just kind of is like obviously a fiction movie, but there are like moments where it's like, oh, like hyper realistic, where it's
hard to describe it. It's very hype. Like this, like James Bond movies push the credibility despite being set in like a world where like actual laws apply, where this movie doesn't really push credibility ever.
No.
Like the climax is like so just possible.
Yeah. And
there's no world ending super laser.
And there are the moments where like she spikes every drink.
Yeah.
Because that's what you would do.
That's what you would do.
You wouldn't leave any of it. You wouldn't.
I think more spy movies, they need to fuck the bad guy too.
Sure. I'm not against that.
Cause like I just like, I guess it's cause like they don't like making women villains much.
Okay.
And they always have to have the leading guy be an action guy.
Sure.
But I think heroes should fuck the villains more. I think there's a good sexual tension there that's healthy for both of them.
If this turned into a franchise, who would you want to like lead the next movie? Not like who would you want to who would be the creative
direct
team?
The next movie?
Who would be the creative team behind the next movie? I would love to see a Danny Boyle,
Wes Anderson.
Okay, sure. I was trying to think of British directors, and Danny Boyle almost made a James Bond, but was fired after working on it for years.
I'm a big Guy Ritchie fan because he makes a lot of movies nobody likes but me.
Sure.
Because he did the King Arthur one.
Yes, I have not seen
it. Didn't he also do the Robin Hood one?
Maybe.
Where is Robin Hood served in the Iraq War? Not really, but that was the imagery they're drawing from.
The ungentlemanly warfare?
No, it's Robin Hood.
Oh, it just is.
And
Robin
when he's
Hood?
Over it, yeah, it's just this is just Robin Hood in Robin Hood times. And he goes over to the Crusades, because that's what Robin Hood does, right? But they're wearing like flak jackets. like all their armor looks like flak jackets, and they have like rapid fire crossbows, and it's like they're fighting the Iraqi war. Like that's the visual you're getting.
Okay.
And then he comes back to become Robin Hood, right? And then it's Antifa versus the police is in the imagery, where it's the Sheriff of Nottingham, played by the guy that plays Orson Krennic.
Okay.
And he, like, they're all dressed in like trench coats, basically, and the all the Robin Hood's men are basically dressed in like hoodies and like bandanas, but it's medieval, so it's not that, right? And then all the guard of Nottingham, right, have like riot shields and like one-handed crossbows, and no one liked this. Like, no one liked that it was aping imagery from our time. They're like, why isn't it proper medieval? And it's like, he's having fun with it. Fuck off.
Okay.
I love the idea of the guards having like riot shields. That's fun. It doesn't, they're all realistic. It's fucking Robin Hood.
Sure.
A fictional character. Myths are adapted for their time. It's why Shakespeare's timeless. Because you can put Shakespeare in any time setting and it works. They made Hamlet a fucking lion. Okay, you can adapt things and put like modern spins on them and it works and no one liked it and it bombed. It was really good.
I'm sorry.
It's on my list.
Okay, thank you.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'll put it on just again to make sure.
Cool. Any final thoughts?
What each of these women could do to me in this movie is unspeakable. Like, I don't know. I think what really brings this movie, hey, it's Matthew's corner of the podcast where I talk about how horny I am for just women in general. I think what brings this movie to a true Matthew 10 is that all the main women in this movie are capable and dangerous and could probably kill me.
Sure.
Like, without a doubt.
I understand that completely.
Because, I mean, the one, clearly a killer. Victoria, clearly a killer. And Gabby manages to knock the Russian off his feet.
Yeah. Okay. Nah.
And they both come from cultures with a good food.
Hell yeah.
Some schnitzel.
Nah, I'm real bummed this didn't do well. It's not perfect, but it's super
least,
fun.
I would have been better if it just at least did fine and didn't get a sequel. But the fact that it bombed and didn't get a sequel when it is such a fun fucking movie,
sure,
and everyone is so good in it. There's like no bad performances in it and everyone does exactly what they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Like it's not like the perfect movie, but it is a very well-made movie that does everything it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes it a perfect movie in a way. Like it's not like a perfect movie in like the idea of like cinema the art. It's not the perfect cinema, but it is the perfect movie.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
Like you called it the perfect spy movie.
Yeah, it's not like the perfect piece of art, but as a cinema go, as a movie going experience,
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. I got some corner store popcorn and laid on my couch and watched this. Actually, both times I watched this, I went down to my corner store and bought some popcorn.
Smart. Good choice.
Yeah, man, it was just a good ass time.
I watched it at as always 1.5 speed, but it kept desyncing, so I had to like keep going back to resync the audio.
Yeah,
which has never happened before.
Cool. If those are your final thoughts, do you want to do socials?
I do have one thing I want to bring up.
Please.
I don't think, was it specifically a turkey sandwich? Because you called it was.
It looked like a turkey sandwich.
I feel like it was an Italian meat sandwich.
I'm super willing to be, it looked like light meat, mm-hmm. So I thought it was turkey. But I'm super willing to be wrong.
Yeah, I think it is like a nice, like, you know, like the Italian meat selection.
Yeah, 1,000%. Because
you do a turkey with a white wine.
Sure.
Is my thing, and that was not a white wine.
Fair enough.
And there's no way an Italian would get the wine wrong. So we're probably looking for more of a red meat.
That was a great ass sandwich, is all.
It's so good. I want a sandwich right now, dude.
Me too. Honestly, I'm debating if I'm gonna go to Sheetz.
I mean, I'm going to Giant Eagle. I'm gonna see if they have any good Italian sandwiches in there. Like to go.
Ooh.
Maybe grab a bottle of wine.
Nice. Hell yeah. All right, you want to do socials?
Yeah, I can do socials. Facebook. MySpace. TikTok. So if you want to like send us some cool shit, you know, your recipe for a delicious Italian sandwich, if you're a beautiful Italian woman, as previously mentioned, your shoulder measurements and the strength of your eyebrows, photography, please. Or a nice drawing, perhaps, if you're an artist. Two Men in a Movie Podcast at gmail.com. We're always open to receiving emails. If you want to follow us on Instagram, mostly for like episode updates, but when we reach 1,000 followers, you're going to see my weird feed. Maybe I'll post a cool sandwich tonight.
Please do.
Not have to post. Could be posting before it comes out. It'd be like spoilers for a future episode.
Yeah, I was going to tease the audience.
That's Two Men Movie Podcast at Instagram. You can also find us on Facebook if you want to see the Instagram posts, and I will never interact with you right there. Our YouTube is Two Men Movie Podcast.
Two Men and a Movie Podcast.
Two Men and a Movie Podcast. There you can join a DW Cali in being a fan and commenting.
Hell yeah.
They put a heart on the Serious Man episode.
Oh, did they? That's awesome.
So shouts out to you, DW Cali.
Hell yeah. Yeah, we're small enough now that if you recommend a movie, we will watch it.
We're small enough now that if you can become like the big fans that are mentioned in episodes. You gotta come in right now. And if you're a strong woman, there is opening for you in our Amazonian guard.
Okay. Where can they find you?
If you can also edit, so we can just split the difference here, so I can have my Amazonian guard and Harrison can have their editor in the same package, that'd be brilliant. You can find me at _Midwest_Magician. I post just really me doing things. It's not a profession. It's pretty much just a one-to-one to my personal Instagram to this Instagram. I'm not sure why there's a difference, honestly. But that's my public-facing one. Like, I imagine if we get bigger, like, I'll post more relevant stuff there. Yeah, but for now, it's mostly like, you can see me at the Guardians game. Next summer, I'm going to be going to Kelly's Island, so you can see some, we can get drunk off my ass there for sure. That's a fun little find.
Hell yeah.
If you like Warhammer, I post my small wee little men there. And if you want to message me your shoulder measurements and eyebrows, that's also a wonderful place to do it.
All right. You can find me at harrisonpoole.com on TikTok and Instagram. That's POOLEDOT.com. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for doing our theme music. Thank you guys for listening.
I have a sandwich tonight. Do you know what? Tell your friends. Tell your family about us. You know, fucking spread the word around. Go to a fucking Italian deli, order a big, fat, thick-ass fucking sandwich, and then make them subscribe to our podcast.
All right. I'm ending the recording now. Right.
Love you guys. Kisses.
All right, bye.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.